So happy holidays, you guys.
Oh, happy holidays.
Whoa. Are you too afraid because of our PC culture to say Merry Christmas?
The funny thing is like everybody that I say happy holidays to is like, damn it, Merry Christmas. Like literally
they get mad about that?
Well, I mean not like it's not like real anger. It's not like you hit a guy's car with your car type situation.
Well, I literally am waging a war on Christmas.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it makes me mad. You know, I really want it to just go away.
Yeah, you and everybody else. Here's my take on that, man. I just feel uncomfortable saying the word Merry. Like, Merry!
Well, we don't use that in any other context.
No.
Yeah. And by the same token, when you hear Happy Christmas, that just sounds British.
It totally sounds British.
Yeah.
Take the lift up to your Happy Christmas party.
Yeah, exactly.
When people say Merry Christmas to me, I so detest saying that. It makes me feel so fake. I usually just say likewise or something like that.
You're like, back at you.
I've said that.
Punch him in the shoulder.
Despite the fact that I'm agnostic, I actually love Christmas. Like, I think it's
because
fun.
The Christmas that we celebrate is
not a religious holiday. People are generally nicer to each other. They give each other things. And I dated a girl like a while back who was like, "Well, I feel kind of funny celebrating Christmas with you because you're agnostic." And I was like, "Well, no, I still like the holiday. I like people being nice to each other and giving each other shit."
Well, and not for nothing, because this is not a religious show, but shocking. But
we can turn it that way.
Let's not
get some just real guys. Quick, yeah. Like
right. Yeah. But I was talking to our father. Wimberly. As it turned out, my dad and your dad, Ryan. And
as far as we know,
And he was telling me we got talking about Christmas the other day on the phone, and he said actually that he'd been doing some research on it, and I was like, wow, you really do have some time, because I feel like that subject's been covered. Yeah, he's retired. But yeah, he said apparently, and I'm skipping over tons of important details, but apparently it originally, Christmas as we know it is mostly based on a pagan tradition.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And then
that's
originally,
true.
Like this pagan tradition ended on the 25th, and there was, on the 25th of December, and so there was interest among presumably the Catholic Church, for figuring out a way to dovetail that with the birth of Jesus, what we currently know as the religious part of that holiday. So anyway,
man, that is a spirit of cooperation right there that you don't normally see.
Well, there were lots of you've got to imagine. I mean, in between, like, there were 1,000 years in the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church was marched into Europe, and you've got to think like there are lots of. That one to me seems a relatively benign, small compromise to make in order to spread your religion.
But among factions that don't really see eye to eye, like that's good.
It's interesting. But rather than the history lesson, I did learn one thing today that I thought that made me smile, that has a historical context and is Christmas related, but is not as quite as heavy as what we were talking about just then. And that is that apparently, I guess the Mariah Carey song
is not anymore.
Not anymore.
It got knocked off. That's right. It's number two now.
I don't think it is.
No, it's number two.
Is it?
It's number two. Yeah.
They were banding it about on the Stern Show today, and they were going on. I guess apparently it's been number one. Christmas season after Christmas season
since 1993.
Yeah.
And the Shins knocked it off.
Oh, how about that?
They're with their cover
kicked it in the Shins.
Having a Wonderful Christmas.
The Paul McCartney.
Yes,
cover.
Their cover of that, like, knocked Mariah Carey.
I don't know if I've heard their cover.
I hadn't.
I've heard some of it.
It's better than the Paul McCartney version. Hey, you know what? We can literally keep on going for an hour about this stuff, but
we should note that we're absent a fellow.
We are absent producer Mark this week.
But he'll be here in spirit, kind of.
So yeah,
we're back in my garage.
We are back in your garage. We got a long show today. We're going to play some music, and we'll come back and catch you guys up on what we've decided to do. So for now, I'm Shane.
I'm always Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
This is Somebody Likes It.
year, yes. Christmas episode. What are we calling it?
The 11, perhaps 12 songs of Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, because
holiday cheer, y'all.
By the way, you know what? I really appreciate Kevin. We're like it, I think Ryan said a minute ago. We're back in Kevin's garage, and Mark at Mark's house. I love how all out he goes, and he and Janet have so many blow up things, and it's very cool. The decorations are beautiful.
They're full bore,
but it stresses me out slightly because I'm like, how do you? And you have kids. I came over here and I was
you have the time?
Yeah. And Kevin has a beautiful tree, some lit wreaths, and it's like, it's manageable. So we're doing the 11, perhaps 12 songs of Christmas. And this is a lot like, well, I mean, it's
like
exactly like
Bing Crosby special you've ever seen.
It's, yes. Yeah. It's very much so.
Yeah,
that.
I think David Bowie's going to show up at some point.
I hope so. He'll just crawl under the garage door.
But, like an alien in a sweater.
Yeah.
That's where he is now. Like, he no longer dresses like an alien. He just has one on his old man sweater.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Because isn't he – is it David Bowie in his 70s now?
He is, very least.
I think he's 70 or 70 –
He's up there, but I segued you out of your story. So you were
okay.
saying
about No, there was no story. But I'm just saying that it's exactly like how we do a regular mixtape show. In
this would be the third of our mixtapes.
The third. That being where the three of us pick a song. I was saying, like, if there isn't a video for your song this time, that I don't think it really matters.
Because it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas. We will all surprise each other with what our three picks are. But not Pixar, the company that's owned by Disney. Pix, PICKSARE.
Oh, man, I had all stuff from Toy Story.
Yeah, I thought so. But I told you guys that I think that at least one or two of the good, kitschy ones that are out there, I think one of us might
overlap.
So
overlap.
We all picked backups.
So we all picked backups.
Yeah.
And that actually comes into play because producer Mark, even though he's not here...
He left us songs in his stead.
He left us songs to listen to, so we will play ours. But he only left us two.
That makes for 11.
That makes for 11. And so I'm thinking it would...
Those songs go to 11.
I was waiting for that, actually.
Yeah. That's so you when you said that. It made so much sense. And we get to 11 and we haven't killed each other yet or passed out.
We may, by consensus, pick a 12.
Pick a 12.
Yeah.
So
thanks, the 12. Songs.
Perhaps 12.
Brought to
you.
Because everybody knows we're
somebody
pretty
likes it.
Goddamn lazy. Yes. What, sure. Trademark?
That's right.
Okay. So, having said that, Ryan?
Okay. So
get
you
started.
Said that I actually covered this song or brought this up on a previous episode, which is entirely possible, but I don't think it was on a mixtape show.
No, it was on a mixtape show. It was our first mixtape show.
I went back and looked. And I didn't see
you know what? Maybe it wasn't on a mixtape show. Maybe it was just on an intermission on a
it
few
minutes.
It
may have been on an intermission, but it's something that I look forward to with Christmas every year, is the resurgence of The Waitresses, which we were talking earlier about.
You're talking about the band and not just like...
Just the random...
It's not like
Waitresses.
Some sort of like waitress revolution where they're like, write your own damn check. Like that kind of thing?
Not quite that.
Okay.
I do appreciate a lot of Waitresses, but...
Sure.
In many, many ways.
Yes.
Yeah, so The Waitresses.
Yeah, and their song Christmas Wrapping, which every year turns out to be a big deal. And we were talking earlier, I think this was on Mike, about like the list of like the top Christmas songs or whatever, and it was Mariah Carey for a really long time.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, they're number 4 on the list, The Waitresses, Christmas Wrapping.
I didn't think I heard this song, and this is why I remembered it. Distinctly, because you were like, I really like this song.
I like it as a song, not just a Christmas song. Like, I just like it as a song.
Oh, I was saying, is it Christmas rapping, like R-A-P-P-I-N-G or W-R?
It's
like,
W-R-A-P-P-I-N-G.
Yeah, right, I know, but I mean, but what a...
But she kind of raps in it.
An amazing pun.
In a disaffected,
little bit
post-punk, white girl way.
Kind of a Blondie thing.
Kind
of, yeah.
Better,
yeah.
Than, better than Blondie.
Yeah.
But because that, when she raps in that song, it takes... Such an amazingly beautiful song, and it makes it one of the worst Blondie songs, in my opinion. It
I
just
like that song
sinks
and I don't mind her rapping.
Like a fucking stone down to the bottom of some shit ocean.
He's talking about Rapture by Blondie, which I actually like, but we can agree to disagree
anyway,
on that.
Yeah, but The Waitresses.
But The Waitresses, yeah, like it's a just charming little ditty about a girl who's kind of lonely around Christmas, and then she like kind of meets somebody.
So this will be our first track. Should we listen to it?
Let's listen to it.
Should. I believe it has a video.
Okay.
Oh, there's a video.
Let us listen.
Humbug, well that's too strong, cause it is my favorite holiday. But all this year's been a busy blur, don't think I have the energy to add to my already mad rush, just cause it's tis the season. The perfect gift for me would be completions and connections left from last year. Ski shop encounter, most interesting, had his number but never the time. Most of 81 pass along those lines, so deck those halls, trim those trees, raise up pups at Christmas cheer. I just need to catch my breath, Christmas by myself this year. Count the picture, frozen landscape, chill this room for 24 days. Evergreen, sparkling snow, get this winter over with. Flashback to springtime, saw him again. Would have been good to go for lunch. Couldn't agree, we were both free. We tried, we said we'd keep in touch.
So, which one of those people were waitresses? I mean, they're only just like a one of them looked like a school teacher.
Only one of them that's a woman.
No, there are two.
There are two. Oh, there are two. The bass player was a woman.
Women's.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, yeah, better known for I Know What Boys Like.
For, right.
Yeah. So I was hoping for I Know What Elves Like, but. We got Christmas
Rapping. They could just do like every hit song that they have would be a derivation of that
original. Well, I mean, that song is, let's be honest, not that far off from I Know What Boys Like.
No, it's not. But when you say derivation of, I mean, there have been many, many classic Christmas songs wherein they take the original song and just, you know, I think I saw today Enter Santa, the Metallica.
Enter Santa?
Yeah. I mean, there have been a lot of those. So,
well, what I was noticing when we first decided to do this, and I just kind of like did a little of the Googling.
As George W. Bush would say.
Every artist you've ever heard of some note, has at least one Christmas song.
It's money, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you think about it, like every year, if you get one that latches on like this has, like somebody's getting paid off this every year.
That's a good song. It's entertaining. And so let me go back and sort of rescind or amend what I had said before. I don't know that we didn't.
I don't think we talked about it on the air.
We may not have talked about it on the air. We definitely watched the video in Mark's garage, but it wasn't that video. It was a different video that wasn't like a real video. I've never seen that video before. But we've talked and I've listened to the song. Last time I listened to the song was with you. I think we talked about it in Mark's garage when we were talking.
Well, we had bandied about the idea of doing a Christmas episode last year and we just didn't get our shit
together. Yeah, we get lazy.
Yeah. None of that this year, though. This show's running like a top.
We're on fire!
That's right.
We don't even need Mark for this stuff.
All right,
But yeah, you know, long and short of it, narrative of that song is like, you know, girls, you know, she's probably in her 20s at the time. And, you know, a little lonely around Christmas, she runs into a guy at the grocery store and they hook up. And it makes her Christmas happy.
It sounds like
Yuletide greetings.
Yeah. Right. And the best part about that is the amazing sax, because you guys know how much I enjoy saxophone solos.
That's not egregious.
It's not egregious. It's not egregious because there's like the whole ska horn setup. There's like a sax and a trombone and a trumpet.
The sax is pretty buried in that, and it doesn't go off.
No. But why I don't care about it at all is that then there's a cool little sax solo where the sax player just dances around and then blows like Marilyn Monroe out of his sax and shit. So
as one does.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
It's a little it's kind of intense.
By intense, if you mean like I was trying to stifle laughter,
lighthearted
guffawing.
Well, to be honest, Shane, like I kind of assumed. That once the saxophone, like the horn section started up, I was like, "That here we go. That's it. This is where Shane loses it over."
No, horns. No, I love horns. It's just the egregious sax solos that I hate. Anyway, that was the waitress's Christmas rapping. Great song, Kevin.
Yeah. So I have chosen James Brown put out some amazing Christmas music. And to the point where the man put out not one Christmas record. He put out all kinds of Christmas records. Like, he was, it was just like a thing with him. It'd be like, oh, it's that time of year. Time to call up Bootsy Collins. And, yeah, right. So we're going to play Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer. Go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a toy for Johnny. Leave a doll for Mary. Leave something pretty for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto.
A couple of things that I like about that song. Well, there was no video, number one. So thank God.
It's not one of the things that you like about it.
I didn't have to. Well, I'm just saying. I didn't have to get up and stand up and walk around to the other side of the table. Oh, I mean, we talked about how lazy we are.
Yeah.
No, there are a couple of things that I really, really enjoy about that song. Number one, it's kind of heartbreaking. You know, Santa Claus comes straight to the gate. It's not a funny song.
No, it's a request. Like, and he doesn't really kind of get to the point until the end that it's like, hey, please,
well, I guess
please.
The subtext of it is that a lot of inner city poor kids don't get a lot of presents.
Right. You shouldn't guess that's the subtext. That is the subtext. I mean, that's what that song is about.
And he goes through like the kind of thing that Santa should bring to different kids, well, and so on and so forth.
So two things I thought were really interesting. One is I've never heard James Brown with his voice so raw, and he's not shouting in any way. He's got a really just low, almost laryngetic voice.
Little raspy.
Like raspy.
Yeah.
Right. I hear James Brown, and I've said this before, and I probably said it on the air, like, I've heard so many of James Brown's songs so many times and so many different commercial propositions that it disallows me from being able to appreciate them as music anymore. It was interesting to hear his band in the context of this song, a song that I'd never heard before, and it was really sedate, and it still had a swing in it, like even hit, like so much of his faster, more.
No, he was really in the zone for, I don't know, what, probably 8-9 years?
I'm talking about his band, too, here.
I know.
Like, when you really.
Well, when I say he, it's James Brown, the entity as a band as well.
Well, and I got, you know, to Shane's point, like, I kind of feel like this era of James Brown is like, it's a super lean, like, muscular recording. Like, there's not a lot of like pomp and circumstance. Like, it's,
there's no fat on this thing.
No fat.
But what I'm saying, and you actually like kind of went right into what I was going to say. I mean, like, when you say James Brown, there was no James Brown. It was James Brown with a bunch of really incredible musicians that he,
the JB Horns,
that he rehearsed over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and never gave him shit. You know, like, I mean, but he had amazing bands at that time. And so to be able to step back from what I'm used to hearing from James Brown, I can, me myself, like, listen to that song, I'm like, holy shit, man, that is fucking groundbreaking and beautiful.
Yeah, this is off the Soulful Christmas record that he put out in, I don't know, it's like 66, 68, something like that.
So this song is not just my favorite Christmas song, it is genuinely one of my favorite songs ever, and for many different reasons, but and not in an ironic way at all. And we can watch the video right now, and that's Wham! Last Christmas.
Yeah.
not kidding. That is really one of my favorite songs. I love that song.
That is a genuinely good song.
It's great, in terms of like songcraft, it's really well put together, and it's especially well put together compared to a lot of other Christmas songs.
And other Wham songs, right?
Wham has some good songs, but you have to like they get okay. So here, like,
I didn't expect us all to come up like so favorable on that track, but we totally did.
It's an interesting thing. I'm a big George Michael fan, and I found a lot of people that are friends of mine that I would never think in a million years like him, and that's for a different. For kind of the same reason as me, in that he constantly tried to push the boundaries of being stuck into this boy band thing until he got, you know,
Listen Without Prejudice, like volumes 1 and 2.
Listen Without Prejudice, volume 1 is when he, like, I mean, if you go back and listen, he's singing on that whole album about how he wanted to get out of his contract and got put into these songs, and like it's just an interesting story, and I'm a big fan of the guy.
Yeah.
But
this video is quite something.
This video is really, it's just to set up what's going on. So the song,
about as yuppie thing as I've ever seen,
and super 80s, like
really
80s, very like 30 something, except for he was probably in his like late 20s.
It is the most 80s star-crossed ski vacation.
Everybody's going to meet at a ski house for Christmas, ostensibly. However, it looks more like a New Year's or birthday party.
Kind of.
Like,
yeah.
There's not a lot of Christmas
there's
going
like,
on.
Yeah, there's multicolored decorations that aren't red and green.
At one point, a
cake comes out.
A cake comes out with like sparkling
Jesus
candles. Yeah, but there's also a tree that he was. So in the song, he's talking about how last Christmas he gave
you my heart. The next day you gave it away.
So let's be clear on this. For me, there is only one takeaway for what that means. Last Christmas on the ski trip, we hooked up, and the next day
you hooked up with somebody else,
or just
which. Are we thinking is
Andrew Ridgely?
Andrew Ridgely,
who was the other member of Wham,
he was the John Oates of Wham.
So the
Art Garfunkel,
Wham.
Lesser known thing, when I watched this video the first time, I'm like, so this Christmas they all come back to the same house as last Christmas, and there's a few flashbacks with he and his lover from the year before, but. I was thinking like, oh, this can be seen one of two different ways. It could be seen as like a heartbreak reveal video of what happened, or it can be seen as the actual reason that Wham truly broke up, like at the end of the day.
Oh, that sounds plausible.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
There's a lot of things plausible in this, and one is that George Michael is totally straight.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that. He's not straight. Okay, well, great. Great video. We could go on and on and on about the snowball fights. There's a great shot where
there's a lot of whimsy in the video.
Everybody's hopping over there. They all meet, you know, in this house, and they have a party, and then the next day they go and ski the slopes and stuff. But at one point they're running in the snow, and they all hop over this wooden fence, and they're throwing snowballs at each other. And when George Michael runs up to the fence and puts his hands on it, it's like he got shocked, and he's in stasis, and the camera just cuts to his face, like, in side repose, and he's wearing, like, this, like, fur-lined hat on his coat, and then he makes a pain, like he's about to have a heart attack, and he can't get over the fence, and I guess you just imagine that that's where they fell in love the year before. She hit him with a snowball, or something.
Oh, yeah, as love goes.
Yeah,
that's the way that love goes. That's Janet Jackson. Okay, Ryan, what do you have next?
Well, actually, I think we've got a Mark song next, don't we?
Oh, we do. That's right.
Yeah.
Mark song.
I guess you've previewed these, but Kevin and I, they're being unwrapped.
I saw the act that was one of them, but I haven't watched the video. So, do you have a preference? Because you probably know what the other one is, and I don't know it.
No.
One of them was a Pogues track.
Yeah, Lullaby of New York.
Yeah.
Or is it Lullaby of New York?
Why are you looking at me? I haven't looked at
you. Well, no, I mean, I'm looking at you because you know the goddamn song. The Pogues, Lullaby.
I don't know the Pogues that well. I know maybe 3 Pogues songs. This isn't one.
All right, well, let's do this. Why don't we spin up the Pogues, and then we'll come back and talk about it on the backside of that track.
Sounds great. So happy Christmas.
I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
see. You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You're handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more.
Sinatra was swinging, all the jokes they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, going by. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
You know, the thing is like, I've never understood the allure of the Pogues.
I love them. I think they're...
I know. A lot of people do.
Partially Irish. Like,
I know.
There's a little bit under my skin in a good way.
What I was going to say was in that track, like, when Shane McGowan is doing his thing at the piano, and, like, I was like, all right, this kind of sounds like every like snippet of a Pogues song that I've heard, and I was like, I'm not loving it.
Well,
and then it picked up, and then it got interesting. Lyrically, it's great.
I think, more interesting. There's a thing with like kind of Irish pub songs, and that it even bleeds over into a couple of those. What are those like? Couple of like punk Irish bands here, like Dropkick Murphys.
Oh yeah,
but they have like kind of a sing-song dirgy thing going on,
right?
There's a little bit of that.
A lot of those songs are what makes them really interesting, and a lot of what made the Pogues. Oh, by the way, we need to just state this for the record. I had it wrong. I was saying Lullaby, but it's Fairy Tale of New York, not Lullaby. And my bad.
This is Mark's pick.
From producer Mark, so we're speaking in his stead.
There's a lot of these. I love the Pogues, and a lot of the reason why is because there's these like nihilist lyrics, like.
Nihilist? Like, is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, like believing in nothing and just going...
No, like, it's just like, I don't know what, they just sound destructive, like, I'm just gonna get drunk and just...
Well, that's what I mean by, like, going full bore.
Yeah,
like,
Like,
fuck it all to hell, I'm gonna just dive right in.
I think this song's good. I hear this tons and tons of times, and I was surprised that neither of you had ever heard it before.
You must hang out at, like, Irish bars on Christmas.
No. I hang out at any bar on Christmas. At any bar on Christmas, some drunk fucking older guy is going to come in and, like, put in a dollar and play the song twice back-to-back or something. I mean, it happens a lot. But I think that's why I've heard it so many times is because of, I think, in the last 15 years, I've probably been in a bar at some point on every Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or both.
Okay, so...
Back to the top.
Let's keep it moving.
I am next. What band can I never talk about on this show because I know all their shit?
R.E.M.
Okay, well, they have a Christmas song. They would issue singles to their fan club members. And traditionally, they would be... One side would be a Christmas song, and the other side would be a punk rock cover. And so I had Christmas Rapping for the first one. This is Christmas Griping. By R.E.M. And it's a little curmudgeonly.
Wait, they wrote their own Christmas songs?
They wrote their own Christmas songs, like, every year for a long time.
All right, so what's the name of the track?
Christmas Griping.
Christmas Griping. Let's spin it up.
Well, looks like Christmas is here again.
Yeah, guess we'll have to go shopping now.
I tell you what, if I hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer one more time, I'm gonna go up on a tower with a high-powered rifle. As we sit by the fire, all the smells will perspire. Yeah, and I'm gonna have to take my nephew to the mall to see Santa Claus.
Wouldn't you just love to throttle the person that invented fruitcake?
And what is this thing about mistletoe?
What was that about, Burl Ives?
Well, I mean, the song is called Christmas Griping, and it's a litany of things that they get irritated with around Christmas. Them R.E.M. boys, or them Rim boys.
Well, I think there's other than the Rim boys, because there's definitely at least one lady's voice.
There's a lady in there. I'm not sure who it is. It's not Kate Pearson. It was right around that time.
And you know, it's not Mrs. Claus either, because she wouldn't put up with that for 5 seconds.
You're right, Kevin.
Well, and apparently the percussion section from Fleetwood Mac just decided to show up.
I noticed that.
Well, it wasn't just that, but it was also like...
it's like the USC marching band. It was Tusk.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It's exactly Tusk.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With some Christmas griping over it. And one... I genuinely like that song, but there's one sort of ill-advised lyric in it, given today's current events.
Oh, climb up to the top of the tower and shoot
with
somebody?
With a high-powered rifle. Yeah, and I believe that's like song spoken by Mr. Michael Stipe, who probably doesn't have it in to
climb up to the top of a... Yeah.
But, you know...
It was a more innocent time. Well, 1991. The 90s.
Yeah. Hey, man, remember the 90s?
Boy, do I ever!
So, that was... You're right. That was some Christmas griping by R.E.M.
It's fun. I don't know that I ever need to hear it again. It was fun. I got a couple chuckles.
Second that motion.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I'm going to start playing it, like, every other day.
Thank you.
Just myself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
No, it was a very entertaining song. I didn't dislike it. But, you know, like any other novelty song, it has a very limited shelf life.
One eyed, one horned, giant purple people eater.
Without
the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So is it my turn?
It is your turn.
This is Silver Bells, but it's a different version of Silver Bells. This was performed on Saturday Night Live, and it's a trio. It's Steve Martin, Paul Simon, and Billy Joel on piano. And it's quite something.
I can honestly say I've never heard of... I've heard of Silver Bells.
Of course.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Is there an accompanying video?
There is not an accompanying video, but suffice it to say that the audio is quite sufficient.
You know what I think we should do for every song that doesn't have an accompanying video? We should just play...
Interpretive
like
dance?
No. Like the Yule log on the TV...
Oh, yeah.
You know, we should just have a video that's just that for the duration.
Well, you know that we don't have video on the actual podcast. So
no,
we can watch it.
Just like Chris put up on the last time we did a mixtape where he put up a video for every single segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that with a Yule log burning on video the entire length of the track.
No, that's a great idea. That's a terrific idea.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, but this is a very unique version of Silver Bells, which we will now share.
Last night, my child looked up at me and said, Uncle Steve? He didn't know I was his father, and I didn't know for sure either. I just assumed I was. I'd had his mother so many times, and in so many different ways. The odds were with me. Anyway, he looked up at me and said, What does Christmas mean to you? And I said, Lemuel, Christmas is a time for giving, a time for receiving, a time for eggnog and rum, a time for cutting down trees and hanging plastic doodads on them and watching them die slowly in your living room, catch fire and burn down your house and all of your possessions.
So I told you, right? Like... Totally different, like...
That was charming.
That was some funny shit, man.
Dark.
It starts off kind of, like, sweet and hopeful, and then goes, like, steadily downhill, like, for the rest of the song.
To me, how you can measure how he's slowly going steadily downhill is he starts out drinking eggnog with rum and brandy, and he just goes, slides down.
Oh, tequila by the end?
There's an eggnog martini in there.
Yeah. He's just telling a story. He's like, while you're drinking eggnog with rum. And then later he's like, Uncle Walt was supposed to bring me more eggnog. And
with
tequila.
Like, asphyxiated himself in the garage.
He's been sitting in the garage
for 45 minutes with the car
running. Yeah.
So basically, this is a song that was performed on Saturday Night Live, and it was Steve Martin. he wrote the lyrical content, obviously the commentary bit, not Silver Bells, which I did a little bit of research and I found out the original name for this song was going to be Tinkle Bells. And apparently at that time it already meant peeing. And so the wife of, like, there are two guys that wrote it, like, one of them was like, you can't call it that.
Oh, the original song, Silver Bells?
Was going to be called Tinkle Bells.
Oh.
Anyway, but yeah, so Steve Martin and then Paul Simon kind of at the height of his fame, and Steve Martin at the height of his fame, and Billy Joel on piano, and, or as they used to say, piano. And,
Piano.
Yeah.
Piano forte?
Yes. So anyway, but yeah, he tells the story of, and you can also tell that this is like Steve Martin, like not far removed or maybe in the midst of his big stand-up show days because
Wild and Crazy Guy.
Because he's like, there are little extra silly touches, like the kid's name in this that the uncle slash or the nephew slash son, whoever he is.
Lemuel?
It's like the kid.
Lemuel? I thought it was Lemuel.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah, like, it's not a name.
I was going to say, I thought it was Lemuel too, but
yeah.
This is something that we can talk about. We can go round and round in circles, but comedy, you cannot talk about. It's funny and slightly disturbing and also slightly beautiful. At the same time.
It's expertly well done. It's well performed. The thing that I keep thinking about, well, a couple of things. One, and you guys brought this up, is like, it's like, so that, you know, the refrain of like the poem that sort of goes over the top of this, the back of this song is, you know, is Steve Martin telling this child, you know, Christmas is a time for this and this and this, and the images continue to get darker. But beyond that, what I was thinking about is like, he had to essentially time that out so everything had to fit like a glove. Like if it didn't end on time, if you rush it, or if the background is like, yeah, it's sort of too, that's what rehearsal is. That's why you rehearse.
I get that.
But I mean, these are guys like, you know, it's not like
it was the 70s. So basically, you're assuming that they were spending like, I don't know, 80% of their time doing cocaine. And dancing at Studio 54.
Sure.
And so they probably didn't have a lot of time to rehearse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I just discovered that track and it makes me unspeakably pleased.
Well, it was quite amusing. I'm next. So I'm going to go ahead and do one of the newer classics.
You
talked about it earlier, and we're going to have to watch it at some point. So why don't we watch David Bowie, Bing Crosby?
Wow, was that the one that you thought everybody was going to pick?
No. This was one of my alternates. But he talked about it earlier. It made me think of it.
Okay. All right. Here it is.
They told me bum-bum-bum-bum. Born king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. See the day of glory. See the day.
So yeah, it's funny. Well, a couple things are funny about that. Number one, what was really funny, I forgot about this when you were trying to pull up the video, is there's one YouTube clip where it has like, it's like, not photoshopped, but it's the Bing Crosby like rapping.
To a certain point it is.
Yeah.
It's like Bing Crosby, and then it like kind of transitions to someone who is clearly not Bing
Crosby.
He's
throwing some beats down. Yeah. No, but he's got Bing Crosby's face. But that, it's very funny.
It's amazing.
When I was a kid, two things. When I was a kid, we got Showtime. It was like the nascent, you know, thing that it is now or whatever.
Yeah.
Because like cable was still really new. And it was the year that this – they did this thing for one of his – Bing Crosby would do Christmas specials.
CBS special or something.
Yeah, but he did them every year for years. In fact, he died a week after this.
I did not know that.
And also –
I didn't know that either. Is that true?
Yeah. He had a heart attack on a golf course.
That part I knew.
Or maybe it was 3 weeks. Maybe it was less than a month.
Well, if it's 3 weeks, that makes it
story. Yeah, I know. But yeah. But it was before the special was released. He was dead, which led to some conspiracy theorists in the 70s claiming that this was computer generation. Which
I thought they were going to say that he was killed by.
I don't think they really.
And David Bowie,
that
dropped some angel dust on his.
I'm just saying that conspiracy theories to always think that technology is a little bit better than it actually is. Also, here's another conspiracy theory thing. This was recorded on September 11th, 1977.
Oh,
it's all tied in.
Yeah.
There you go.
False flag.
Illuminati.
So, yes. So, anyway, but when I was a kid, I remember thinking, I saw this quite a few times. They would play it on Showtime all the time. And it had just been released. It had been bootlegged for years and years and years. And like 5 years after it was recorded, whatever label, CBS Records or whatever, decided, oh, we can make some money. And they made multi-millions of dollars from releasing this recording and this video.
This is an improbable mega
in every way. But when I was a kid – so here's the thing. Like they're playing off – so D. Martin was 73 at the time. I'm not D. Martin. Bing Crosby was –
he might have been 73 too.
Shut up. And so Bing Crosby was 73 and David Bowie was 30. Okay? And David Bowie –
it looks about like he's 23.
Right.
No, you're right.
Well,
yeah.
That's what he says. I'm not as young as I look. Okay. So anyway, so – a lot of their back and forth jokes before they start singing the song have to do with, you know, being Crosby saying like, "Well, do you like any of the old stuff?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I love the old stuff."
Ooh,
like
John Lennon.
Okay, well, but here's the thing: now David Bowie is getting up to like almost the age
Bing
Crosby was at the time, and
time doesn't lose.
But the other thing is, when I was a little kid watching this stuff, like I thought that they were the same age. When you're a kid,
well, adults.
They're adults. Yeah, like I literally thought they were two old people just playing a song, you know. And no, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
All right, we got Mark up next.
Yeah, Mark is up next.
I have no idea what the other song is.
I do. It's 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders.
Oh,
how is that a Christmas song?
Well, you know, I thought the same thing, but. I never recognized it as a Christmas song, and maybe it's just a song that Mark wanted to play. However, maybe we should listen to it and think that it's a Christmas song. So why don't we play the video, we'll listen to it, and we'll come back and discuss.
I'm so confused.
Okay, well, you should be.
He's gone 2,000 miles. The snow's falling down, gets colder day by day. I miss you. The children will sing, he'll be back at Christmas time. In a silent night, sometimes in a dream, you appear outside.
The first thing that I really like about that song is that Chrissy Hynde comes right out and says, 2,000 miles, it's very far. Like, it's very far. She's just telling you.
She's correct.
Yeah. She's not wrong.
She's nothing if not practical. We'll say that.
Yeah, that's true. And so this is another, again, another producer, Mark Opus.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Pretty song. Well, let me say, like, clearly that song is about Christmas. When we were going into...
We thought it was the Proclaimers.
Well, no, you thought it was the Proclaimers.
I kind of thought
I was
it,
thinking it was really. The song Ohio by the Pretenders. I was... Dun, dun, dun.
That's, well, actually, no, you're thinking of My City Was Gone, went back to Ohio. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, the name of the song is...
No, that's a different song. Like, we can spin our wheels around this all day. All right.
Well, apparently I'm just getting all of the song titles wrong this evening.
Middle of the Road.
Middle of the Road, sure.
Yes.
Anyway,
no, it's a pretty pretender song. It's also about Christmas.
And to be clear, like, so the way that producer Mark emailed this over to, at least to Shane and I, was they were just YouTube clips. There was no explanation as to what they were, so I didn't get a chance to watch both of them.
Well, no, what he
and
said
so what we were talking about,
the email was like, hey, you know, it'd be kind of nice if you kept them unwrapped until on the show. Also, he was like, even if you don't get around to them, that's fine, too.
Okay. Well, we unwrapped.
We unwrapped, as
it turns out. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's, I went through, like, a little Pretenders phase at one point, like, kind of like people go through a Bob Marley phase or like a whatever. There was a point in my life when I was like, I listened to a couple of Pretenders records and I was like, okay.
The songs really that I love from them, I think are classics.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Yeah.
And there's plenty of stuff that they've done that I just doesn't do a damn thing for.
They're another one of those bands, again, to reference Lars Goransson, we've talked about this about many bands in the past. Squeeze is one of them. James, the Pretenders, are a band in search of a greatest hits album. And they have.
Yeah. They've got one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. And it's great.
Uh-huh.
Full of hits.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of filler and a couple classic songs on each one.
No, right. I think that's true, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good song. Yep. I like that song quite a bit.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. Who's next?
I have next.
It's Ryan's turn.
So, just for grins, you know, I didn't want to do, like, all the, you know, classic Christmas songs. That's not
like the ones you've been playing.
Yes. So I'm sticking with my motif. Just for grins, I googled Lou Reed Christmas.
Oh, God.
See what would come up. This track is Christmas in February by Lou Reed.
All right, let's do it.
Sam was lying in the jungle, Agent Orange spread against the sky like marmalade. Hendrix played on some foreign jukebox, they were praying to be saved. Those gooks were fierce and fearless. That's the price you pay when you invade. Christmas in February. Sam lost his arm in some border town. His fingers are mixed with someone's crop. If he didn't have that opium to smoke, the pain would never ever stop. Half his friends are stuffed into black body bags with their names printed at the top. Christmas in February. Sammy was a short order cook in a short order black and blue collar town. Everybody worked the steel mill, but the steel mill got closed down.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
I'm probably more amused by that song than I should be.
I wasn't amused by it. I mean, I thought it was a great song, but
it was a great song. But it kind of okay. Have you ever seen that sketch from Saturday Night Live where Bill Hader's got like the
Puppet with the
that's,
puppet
that's gone through Grenada or whatever. It's kind of like that. I mean, I was looking for some. I just wouldn't want to see what Lou Reed's take on Christmas would be, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's. I mean, honestly, that's.
I don't. It's pretty.
I thought it was. It affected me. Like it really got to me. Like the whole idea. Like you know. Like everybody loves the veterans around Christmas, but there ain't no Christmas in February. Get a couple weeks away. Get a couple months away.
Well, and of course, that is the heart of the matter. But
I thought that was really
the
intense.
Juxtaposition and context of it. Like kind of is a little funny to me.
Juxtaposition well, what in context of what?
The juxtaposition of it compared to like all of the holiday cheer or whatever. And I was just like,
well, no, that's,
I wonder what Lou Reed would do with the topic of Christmas.
That's funny, but you gotta just
but
bear
no,
with me
course,
for a second.
Like,
I just heard that song for the first time and I'm still like coming down from that. I mean, that's one of the best songs I heard of his later. Of his later career.
Post Velvet Underground.
Well, no, I mean, I heard, you know, there was good stuff in the 70s, a little bit of good stuff in the 80s, but I mean, that that album came out like in the early 90s.
Is that right?
No.
To me, it sounds, I mean, I didn't look into it that much, but I don't know when New York came. I know it came off the record.
Yeah, like 89, 90, 91.
To me, it sounds like just very post Velvet Underground, but you might be very right.
Oh, I am. I mean, I remember when it came out, I remember reading a review of it in Rolling Stone.
Well, I think maybe the larger point is, in the macro sense, like, what isn't, like, one thing that this show makes me think about is, like, what does an artist have to do to record a Christmas song that doesn't sound like every other Christmas song?
Well, that does not sound like a Christmas song.
Well, no, it doesn't. And, like, and so you can, like, with some of those guys, it's like, you know, with the Lou Reed of the world, like, some of it, he would probably never cop to this, but it's like, a little bit of it is retaining street cred. Like, you got to do something that's on brand, and he was never, like, he was always a little bit of an iconoclast. But yeah, to your point, like, to both of your points, like, I do, like, great song. Like,
that's a very terrific song.
It was a good song. It was really.
I went and watched the two, and like it was really like a, you know, I was like, oh, well, I can do, you know, Blue Christmas, and it's got Rufus in it and like all these other iconic people, but really it's just them having a lark at a club. But this is a really good song.
It's a really good song that's really intense.
And that is true.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. So, and this is actually also a little bit of a nostalgia trip for an entirely different reason. One is, because this next track came out in 1983. The second is because it was a little piece of the very first podcast that we ever did. And it is Bob and Doug's 12 Days of Christmas. Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Times with you back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it makes me crazy happy. So anyway.
Bob was just a beer, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to listen to it. So let's listen to Bob and Doug's 12 Days of Christmas. We'll come back and talk about it on the other side.
Okay, now, this is our Christmas song, in case you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas.
There's lots of ideas in here, so listen and don't get stuck.
Okay.
By the way, that's me on the organ.
Oh, geez.
You start.
Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer. Day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks and a beer.
Okay, good.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toasts,
two turtlenecks
and a beer.
Okay, that should be more there, right?
Where?
Fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 pounds of back bacon,
three French toasts,
two turtlenecks
and a beer
in a tree.
See,
more.
Fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden toques,
4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toasts,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
Okay, on the 6th, 2 golden
Christmas, my true love gave to me.
So, I don't know, and this could just be, you know, being too close to one's own experience, but it's hard to imagine to me that nobody would know, like, that somebody might not know who Bob and Doug McKenzie are, but there are plenty of people who probably don't know.
There are people who are younger than us, but all I got to say is beauty, eh?
Yeah.
It's really, really, and it shouldn't. This is the beautiful part about it. Not beauty, eh? The beautiful part about them is that we as Americans don't necessarily understand those cultural stereotypes, but we do at the same time. It's just so, they are so funny that it transcends.
Kevin had this on cassette, like, prior to the movie coming out.
Oh, yeah. Deal. Yeah.
And we listened to that shit a ton.
It was great.
When I was in junior high and high school, the two dudes that I knew that listened to this the most were Rat and Killer Tom.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And my two, like, one was my big metalhead friend, and one was, like, my big rap friend. Neither one of them are, like, especially big, but you understand what I'm saying. And then they would, like, all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, pull out their Bob and Doug's McKenzie. Like, it was like a craze in small town Texas in 1985.
And it totally was. And it was like foreign and hilarious all at the same time. And By the way, I had time to like poke around on Wikipedia looking for like anecdotes about Bob and Doug, and there's some gold shit in there. Like, it's really great. So
of all the SCTV shit, like, they're the ones who hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
The most.
So Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas are Bob and Doug McKenzie, and essentially they're two, like, for lack of a better term, they're playing two Canadian stereotypes. Like, they just drink too much beer, and they ridiculous over the top stereotypes.
Blue collar guys who just like fuck up all the time.
And they're big on back bacon and toques, which are like the knit hats.
I don't know
hats.
What a toque is.
A toque is like basically the knit
hat.
Like the the sort of ski cap type deal. And anyway, this is taken directly from the Wikipedia entry. It says, and so they used to have a regular segment on SCTV, which says that among the topics discussed on their show were snow routes, the Canadian-built robot arm on the space shuttle, the inappropriateness of bedtime stories about dogfights, flat tires, and why aren't there enough parking spaces at takeout donut shops? Like, that's kind of the level of, you know, conversation that we're talking here.
It's funny stuff.
But the record's really silly, and it did very well in the U.S., and it killed in Canada. Like, just killed in Canada.
Well, killing in Canada is selling, like, what, like 5,000?
75.
Yeah.
It was, it topped the Canadian charts for a number of weeks around. So anyway, like, at the very least, like, never let it be said the Canadians don't have a sense of humor about themselves. And so I have, like, clearly a nostalgic place for this record and this.
We listened to, like, this, the record that this came from a lot back in the day. And then the movie came out. And the thing that maybe is my favorite thing about that movie is their father, who you never really saw, but he was played by Mel Blanc, sounding like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that, too.
That's really funny.
Okay.
One last thing before we move on, which is Dave Thomas talking about how they got into character to play these parts in the first place. He said, Rick and I used to sit in the studio by ourselves almost like happy hour and drink real beers and cook back bacon, literally make hot snack food for ourselves while we improvised and just talked. It was all very low-key and stupid, and we thought, well, they get what they deserve. This is their Canadian content. I hope they like it.
It's pretty damn funny, man.
It's pretty damn funny.
And I think it really holds up. I think part of the reason it really holds up is because it's wacky slash a little playing it close at the same time. Like, not just over-the-top slapstick. Like,
it's not insulting to Canadians, but it's silly about Canada, which is, like,
smart comedy can get old really quickly, and slapstick can get old really quickly, but sometimes when you combine those two, like, overly...
They hit upon something that was uniquely them, that was poignant enough about Canada to really like strike a nerve, but in a good way.
Okay, so I'll just throw this to you guys. My first choice for the last song of the night is the California Raisins performing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
And my second choice would be Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, I'm definitely Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, I was going to go the other direction.
Should I flip a coin?
Sure.
You can. Are we still doing the maybe 12th song, too?
Oh, we're gonna be doing that. Yeah, I've got a good
one. Well, in that case, you know what? Let's do Ryan's call. Let's do Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Okay, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. We'll be back. We'll talk about it, and then we'll do the 12th song of Christmas.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. But she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead
find incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
I don't think I've ever heard that song until I brought it up trying to find songs to listen to for this particular show. But I remember kids singing it when I was in elementary school and laughing about it. So I remembered it being really funny.
It's basically, what was it, what's the Batman spells, like sing-songy rhyme?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Robin laid an egg.
Jingle bell, Batman spells, Robin laid an egg. Like, it's about that level of intellect.
Well, and there was, this is around the time that, I can't think of two things when I hear this song. One is, there's a story that came out after this song had come out, and I don't know if it was like right around the same time or a subsequent Christmas. Like, there's plenty of suffering to go around. But some DJ had locked himself in the booth and just played the song over and over again for, like, several hours.
Oh, I vaguely remember
it
that.
It was a thing.
Was he, like, getting fired and trying to, like, pay them back or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Nobody ever, like, this song never comes on. Everybody goes, like, oh, awesome. I haven't heard this in ages. Like,
yeah, I love the remix.
So, that was that song. Which and you'll never, like, you'll never get those, like, minutes back.
Deep Blue Something. That'd be another one that you put in the, like, sort of
you
one track bucket.
He missed the show.
Oh, Deep Blue. Like, yeah, we got there when we actually did.
I just did Deep Blue Something as a few minutes with.
No, I did. I wouldn't. I
yeah,
in a
no,
show that
like
you missed.
One off, pretty much bad song, but it has, like,
pretty a much character. Bad song? It's.
It's got that one little jingly
thing. Yeah, but that
jangly thing.
But that jangly thing was cool 20 years ago. Now it just seems simplistic and annoying.
Well, anyway. It was all those things.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, not to sidetrack us, but thanks, Shane, for sharing that one.
You're welcome. And
hey, what the hell are you guys doing?
Oh, it's Mark.
Oh, wait.
Dude, he just, like, materialized
Jeez.
Out of nowhere.
Cleveland. I leave you guys alone for one night.
Is this the magic of Christmas that you're here?
It is.
It is, yeah.
I'm feeling all warm and tingly.
Thanks, guys.
It's pretty amazing.
We tried to stretch this show as long as we could, so we've been doing as many songs as possible.
I know. You have been working on this. See, I left Monday, and it's now
We've basically been in Kevin's garage.
Yeah. You have been in here for 4 days.
Yeah.
I'm really cold and hungry.
I bet.
Uh-huh. It's really all about the suffering of Christmas.
Well, hopefully, now that I'm here, we can wrap
this
thing up.
What you normally associate Christmas with.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, we tried to, and that didn't work.
Yeah, so let me come clean here real quick. So what we had decided we were going to do a consensus pick for the 12th song, and we did, and it sounded like it was going to be amusing.
It turns out it was not.
That I am oddly and strangely very passionate in a negative way about the song Do They Know It's Christmas by the supergroup hit from the – well, I guess it's not a supergroup. It's just a lot of
famous. Well, no, it was kind of the ultimate supergroup.
Well,
think
no,
about
I,
it.
There, it's a lot of famous people singing. It's sort of like the We Are the World, the English – all English
they set
Irish.
Yeah, they set the template for that. And anyhow, what didn't make for great podcast?
Yeah, it turns out I feel very strongly about it. It's a very condescending song, in my opinion, but we won't tread that path.
Yeah, we're going to do something different.
Yeah, so we decided to reconvene in Kevin's garage 3 days later, and Mark is back in town to listen to another song and wrap this up and hopefully
a neat little bow.
Within a neat little bow and in not such an angry manner.
So what will be the 12th song of Christmas?
Well, it's oddly enough. So there was a Flavor Wire article that came out in, I don't know, like 2011 that was just nothing but what they referred to as criminally underappreciated Christmas songs. And
you read them off to us, and I think criminally underrated is a bit of hyperbole. Yeah, hyperbole.
Certainly,
most of them.
Certainly, for some of them, it's overstating. But for this track, this is a track by Texas band that started out in Denton in the DFW area and has spent some time in Austin,
like your wife's area where she
old stomping grounds. Yeah. Anyway, band is Centromatic, and it's the Christmassy title Fuselage. It's starting to look like Christmas once again. Anyway, they said this is a little snippet from the piece. They said, speaking of underappreciated songs from Texans, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you Centromatic. All of Will Johnson's projects are criminally under-acknowledged by the music press, the buying public. Shane is nodding his agreement. But this original holiday composition created for Dallas and Denton area for a Dallas and Denton area compilation, which kicks off with the lyric, "You say what you got to say to me, but try to say it nicely," which I think
I don't
is
think that's a word.
I don't think it is. I kind of like it though. Yeah. Is nothing short of a forgotten Christmas classic. Chalk it up to the sleigh bells or the talk of strange family traditions. Something about this song feels like a Gen X Christmas come a calling.
We should listen to this song and then come back and talk about it.
Let's do it.
As Will Johnson.
And Centromatic.
And Centromatic.
Yes.
And Fuselage.
And, yeah, and Fuselage. And actually, like, even though I agree with you guys, like, maybe criminally underappreciated for the entire 11 that were on that FlavorWire list is probably not the right way to put it. I thought this is pretty snappy.
It's a good song. That's pretty criminally underrepresented, in my opinion. I thought it was a great song.
Yeah.
But as David Spade would say, long tail on that kite.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it has a what did you call it?
A little
Mark?
Coda, epilogue,
an epilogue. Yeah, coda.
A coda, epilogue.
It's just like little. It's just like a spiraling sound, like whoop whoop whoop.
Well, and then it's also and it's got the, tinkling it's also piano, got kind of that humming intermission part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple of times in that track I was like, oh, I guess it's over, and then it was not over.
But it's probably about as festive as late '90s. Indie rock gets
well, and I'm
yeah,
also,
but I mean, but, I mean, he definitely there's that shift into the minor chord, and also I notice he doesn't change the chords in between the verse and the chorus. If anybody's interested in knowing that,
I'm also kind of just a sucker for certainly like late '90s alternative pop, but beyond that, like lyrically, the content is like a little dark, but the song is like kind of upbeat and. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that this was on a local radio.
I think it was
compilation.
It was a compilation.
So it was probably the Edge
DFW area compilation. I don't know.
So yeah, it was probably KDG. The Edge released a Christmas album. So I would think that this was probably about as Christmassy as you would go.
Oh yeah.
With that. Well, that kind of crowd.
I mean, this falls right in with we listen to. My favorite Christmas song at the top of this show, which is not Christmassy at all, which is Wham's Last Christmas. I love that song. I listen to that song all year long, and this is the kind of song I would listen to, not just in context. Like, yeah. I wouldn't listen to White Christmas in, like, March, probably. But I would listen to this, like, any time of year. It's a good song.
Well, Centromatic was always one of those bands that would kind of fit into, like, that Pavement Superchunk idiom. But they were one of the better ones.
They're more melodic, I think, than both of those bands. Like, I mean, you're right. Like the people that would go to those shows would go to a Centromatic show, but he uses like his music isn't like super. It isn't like it's crunchy, but it's not aggressive at all. Really?
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Thanks, Kevin.
So anyway. That's
the 12th song of our Christmas.
Yeah.
Somebody likes a Christmas.
That was. That was much more light. I mean, the song necessarily wasn't more lighthearted, but the banter post-song was certainly
Oh yeah, well,
more lighthearted.
And I just, frankly, I like the song better. But
oh yeah,
that's just me.
The song is much, much better.
Kevin, you've got next, but we're taking a couple weeks off, right?
We are going to take some time off. The New Year's coming around. It's coming around finally. Fine, we've been talking to it all year long, and it's like, okay.
Come on, New Year's.
All right, fine.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so it's coming around. There's been some talk about maybe one other fun kind of mix and match type episode that we might roll out early next year. So I'll just leave that as a tease. But suffice it to say that if we do it, I think it'd be kind of a fun exercise.
So. Well, I think we've got a couple buffer shows between now and then.
We do. So, oh, yeah. So listen.
We're fine.
If you got this podcast pulled down, find another one and listen to them continuously until we record again.
Continuously.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they always have those like fucking Christmas marathons, like they're having like a Mythbusters marathon for 12. You know, there's always like marathons in the holidays.
Oh,
this could be this.
What should do.
This was you. Yeah. But it but it would be entirely contingent upon the listener.
Yeah,
just going ahead and just listening to them all.
They'd have
to do it themselves. So.
I don't want blood on my hands.
DIY.
So I don't know if that's such a great idea, but.
You don't want blood on your hands?
I don't want blood on my hands.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, well, folks.
Happiest of holidays to everybody.
Yeah.
However you celebrate them.
Your daddy's in jail. Oh, I don't want to get into that.
Oh, we should have covered that. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.
This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.